We've been walking through Ephesians for a little over a year. We are just about at the end of Ephesians. We've been for several months now in the topic in chapter 6 of spiritual warfare, looking at the pieces of the armor. And we have completed the pieces as they are given. In verse 18, it goes on to say, with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit, with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Those verses, 17 seems to come to an end, and 18 stands prominent. And it seems to me, in my thinking, in the way I've taught it, or heard it taught, that verse 18 becomes the next topic. But I believe verse 18 is the rest of the topic. As these pieces of armor are put on, and it's Jesus, in our struggle, it's Jesus. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, he is the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, he is Christ's righteousness that I am clothed in. I don't have righteousness to stand before God by myself. This protects me. And you have already shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He made peace with God for me. In addition to all, taking up the shield of the faith, with which you would be able to extinguish the flaming missiles of the evil one. Those comments, those more than suggestions, those accusations, those guilt-riddled things that get in and just burn and burn. The shield of the faith marks it as what is true and what is not. And take up the helmet of salvation. We've been talking about that for several weeks. Remembering our future. Our future with Jesus, our future with one another, so that our mind doesn't go just wacko crazy. And take up the sword of the Spirit. We talked about that the last 2 weeks, which is the Word of God, the exact sayings within the Logos of God that meet the demand at the moment. With that, he goes into the 18th verse, with all prayer and petition. Let me try to unfold this a little bit. With all prayer. Prayer is either silent or verbal communication, speaking with the Lord, speaking with God. Pretty basic. You know, I'm reminded of the disciples at one point, they've been hearing Jesus pray, right? And what do they request? Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder what that meant, since they've been hearing him. What else did they expect him to tell them? Did it have to do with prayer itself? I mean, I've had a conversation, a number of them, with Brother Dave here, Winchester. What is prayer? How does it work? Well, just be simple about it. It's speaking to God. It's speaking to God. With all prayer and petition. Petitions would be addressing detailed needs and concerns. When you are downtown and somebody says, here, sign this petition, it has a specific topic in mind, a specific need. With all prayer and petition, there's something I know about that it's a need, so I speak that before the living God. Detailed needs and concerns, seeking direction from God's wisdom, as well as asking for his protection. And then it goes on to say praying or prayer at all times in the Spirit. I'd like to spend a bit of time right here. First of all, what it isn't. It is not the reading of prayers out of a prayer book. Although that might be a tool that can be helpful, that's between the person and God. Praying in the Spirit is not repetitions, thinking that I will be heard because of the length of time I stay on my knees or the many, many words. God is not impressed with that kind of stuff. We do that to impress each other. It's not simply speaking in tongues, as some would teach us. If you're going to speak in tongues, just please follow the admonitions of 1 Corinthians 14. It's pretty basic there. That's not what this is about. This is a different topic. It is being mindful of the true needs in the one another and mindful of God in his ways. It often helps to be silent before God, to allow him to put thoughts into words. And this might be called meditation. Scripture seems to call it that. And worship. But, and please hear this, it is not disengaging my mind, going into a void or a vacuum, as the contemplative prayer movement today would have us believe. Make your mind a vacuum and a void, then God can speak to you. If I'm making petitions, it's because my mind is engaged. If there's needs out there, my mind is engaged. So let's just settle down. And Lord, how should I even pray right now? This is also not using my creativity to come up with ideas on how to help God. So often my prayer goes there. He doesn't need my advice. I'm pretty certain about that. He's not waiting for my suggestions. Would you please turn back a little bit to Romans chapter 8? You know, there's scripture here on purpose. This particular verse is on purpose. Romans 8:26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that are inexpressible. Unutterable. I can't come up with it. Groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He intercedes for me while I am needing to pray for needs. Wow! Put that equation together. Is this here on purpose? Am I supposed to believe this? I take it that I'm supposed to believe this. It's in that world that I can't look into and see. And God is just telling me, this is what's going on. I don't know how to pray as I should. Am I seeking God to say, how should I even utter the words for this need? I think that's a good idea, just to be silent for a bit with need in mind. Back to Ephesians 6. Coming from Romans 8:26 that I just read, if the Spirit of God is in us, and chapter 1, verse 13 says he is, Ephesians 1:13 says he is, if the Spirit of God is in us, and if he knows the mind of the Lord like we just read, and the ways of God and the purpose of God, then I need to submit the needs to him in prayer. Both silent and spoken prayer. I cannot remove myself from God working like that and think that I can come up with a bunch of words here that God's going to be impressed with. Praying in the Spirit is engaging somehow with God as I utter this need. And you know what I really think is so cool? Is that our God is fully able to translate my little dinky words from my heart need that my mouth is trying to express, translated directly into the will of God. Move forward a little bit more. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance. Oh, but I get so tired sometimes. And tired of praying again for them. With all perseverance and petition for all the saints. That joins us into the paragraph we've been looking through for the last few months. Here's how it works. In this running context, there is a spiritual battle that all of us are engaged in, like it or not. Pray for one another. For some, our petitions would have to do with the lies that somebody has believed about God or about themselves. And they're struggling and almost sidelined because they've believed things that are not true. For some, it may involve them thinking too highly of themselves. They're a legend in their own mind. Lord, help them to come back to truth. For others, they've imagined condemnation upon themselves. Or in fact, with some, words of condemnation have been spoken to them. There's a fiery dart. Pray for their recovery. Pray for the lies to be consumed with the truth. For some, their emotions are all tangled up, knotted up. Hating certain people, envious of others. They can't seem to match up to their own ideas of perfection, and they feel unrighteous. This is our spiritual war zone. Some cannot get past their past. And the accusations of the enemy, usually coming from people around them, in the form of, again, fiery darts, which keep burning. At times, alcohol, drugs, or other things are used to numb this pain that they live in. Pray that they may find their peace of mind in Him. Some might be double-minded in what they believe, or simply uncertain. What is true? Pray for clarity. So many people are beat up by this unfair, unjust world, and they need to really remember and experience Jesus, who is the truth. Jesus, our righteousness. Jesus, who made peace with God for us. Jesus. And all He did to save and sanctify us. Jesus, who promises us a forever with Him. They need to know and remember that all the individual truth and promises from the Word of God, and holding these against the individual lives of the enemy. Do you see what I just did? We walk down through the pieces of the armor of God and their intent to assist us. And we are applying that in our prayer life for people around us that we know. And the struggles that they are in now. There's not a person in this room that's not in struggles. It just is part of life. Hallelujah for the reprieves here and there. You know, we take a breath of air. But you know what? We are engaged in it. That enemy doesn't take a break. And it's going to be in one of these areas that has already been taught on by Paul that is going to meet and expose the needs in the one another. Pray at all times in the Spirit for one another with all prayer and petition. God help us. You follow the context? We are all going through it, though the timing and details may vary person to person. what I struggled with a few weeks ago, you're in the midst of now. Oftentimes that's the case. And have you noticed that sometimes things come through in waves? Why is everybody's car breaking just right now? You know? Or this comes through, or that comes through. Boy, I've noticed patterns. So when I'm going through it, maybe I should be praying for other people who are also going through the very thing. It's easy for me to think I got the only major problems in this world. No. It's easy to think I'm the only one that's tempted by that. No. Lord, you have brought that individual to my mind. Are you wanting me to pray for that individual? Yes. For what? Pay attention. Maybe they're struggling with the very thing that I'm struggling with, and you've brought them to mind so I can pray for them in that struggle, because I know the struggle. Yes, I do believe that the Holy Spirit of God in us can direct us how to pray, when to pray for one another. I do believe that. God engages with God's people according to God. Pray at all times with all prayer and petition for all the saints, praying in the Spirit. Let me take a little break for interaction. What things are coming to your mind? Laurel, go ahead.
Just hoping people are struggling with their sin, you know, because I sure do. And I always think I've got the worst, you know, because I get angry. And whoever's angry with the brothers, it's like murder. And I struggle almost daily.
Okay. Let me pause you for a moment. When James 5 talks about confessing your sin to one another, one of the reasons to do that, you just said you have anger issues that come up. Probably you're the only person in this room with anger issues.
We'll pray for you.
You know, did you stand up for a reason there, David? Is that something I should be praying for my sister over here? When I'm just about to erupt, God help me. Oh, yeah, that's right, Laurel too. God bless my sister and him and her. And this is how the body is to pray for one another. Not just in the little areas that we sometimes just rest in. God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless. Well, now I'm mindful of this need. It's more than God bless. God bless them with release from this, freedom from the captivity of anger, or whatever it might be. Thank you.
I found that one of the most, this isn't good English, most easy.
Or better.
More better, yeah. Things or ways to be able to pray and to feel like the Holy Spirit is leading is to remember not to focus so much on all the problems, but to focus on the one who can fix it and to know who he is so that you can pray in accordance with who he is. Oh, Lord God, help Laurel with her anger, Lord God, because you are all powerful, and because you and you alone can fix Laurel, and because you are holy, and you are the one that will sanctify her. Help her to turn to you.
Thank you.
Worship.
We have this conversation sometimes with our children, but I think you've said this, but it's really the attitude of humility that you bring to it, and really saying, yes, I have a struggle, and I'm going to pray for my sibling who also has a struggle, but not just, God, help them get over that, you know? So humility is really important, and that's a hard thing to teach.
It is.
Or to a concept to give someone, you know.
Thank you.
This morning when I was looking at the scripture, because I knew where you were going to be, praying with all supplication in the Spirit. The praying and the prayer actually had two different definitions in the Strong's. The first one was a worshipful type of communication. The second one was presenting, if I understood it right. Mm-hmm. So it means that we need to be prepared to acknowledge who God is, to worship and be thankful and grateful, and then go to the petition portion possibly. One had 37 uses in that manner. The other one had, I forget how many. But I thought it was quite interesting that there was a separation of the types of prayer.
Thank you very much.
There was a discussion in our house this week.
I had just assumed. I didn't look into that as a possibility. Thank you very much. Kate.
Yeah, I got a good note back on Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when it's talking about the groanings too deep for words, divine articulations within the Trinity that cannot be expressed in words, but carry profound appeals for the welfare of every believer. This work of the Holy Spirit parallels the high priestly work of the intercession by the Lord Jesus on behalf of believers. So I think it's when the scripture is referring to praying in the Spirit, it's like tapping into the Holy Spirit that has been sent into our lives to, you know, to collaborate in intercession with Jesus, both knowing the will of their Father. You know?
Good. Thank you. Elizabeth?
I guess in my heart, I believe that prayer is communication, this conversation, and I think, yes, it's important for us to trust Him and acknowledge Him and bring our petitions and those things to Him. But I think it's really important, just like in a marriage relationship, if we're the bride, to not just go and unload and then walk away. Is to have that communication and to be still and to know that He's God and to listen and see what the Spirit imparts to our hearts and not... You know, that it needs to be both ways.
Mm-hmm. You know? Thank you. Ron?
If I'm praying for your anger problem, it's, you're correct, God doesn't need my help to solve your angry problem, but it keeps me connected to you and, you know, what you're dealing with in your life by praying for you. It keeps us connected. Too.
Okay. I like that idea. Dave? Excuse me.
You calling me?
I thought I saw a hand up.
Oh,
yeah. Never mind.
That's fine. This is a pretty important topic. All us old people, remember the term prayer warrior?
Yeah.
All you young people would think it's not something that goes around, but there were prayer warriors in my life. And after Sharon and I were married, we moved up to Oregon. Eugene Springfield moved down to Louisiana. And as Dan says, and other people says, I'm not perfect, you know? And after we've been gone from our home church for years, my mom was talking on the phone one time. She said, Leona Holmes wants to know how you're doing. Leona Holmes was one of those prayer warriors, the old ladies. And she said that Leona had told her Sunday, she said, I have prayed for Dave almost every day for years.
Wow.
And this woman had just, for whatever reason, had taken me as one of her people. And I could say praise God for that. Because you can see times in your life as you're walking. Sometimes your walk isn't quite what it should be. And I just am thankful that someone like her was willing to take me and say, Lord, help this young man.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm here today.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Mark.
This is kind of strange, but I'm kind of strange too. But the word anger is in manger. I don't know if anybody realized that. It just come to me that You know, when anger comes, see, the Old Testament is full of good and evil after the Father creates everything. It's good and evil all the way through. And we have good and evil in our lives, in the past, and everything like that. So we got to get in that manger with anger.
Okay.
You're not going to be angry when you get in the manger with Jesus.
Go ahead, Steve.
You know, there's a real mystery to prayer. You know, you've already touched on it, that, you know, an almighty, omniscient God who loves us dearly has no need for me to pray. You know, and yet, he's invited me to, and he's commanded me to, and he's assured me that in some way, he blesses the act of us, you know, of us praying to him. So it's, you know, our prayer to him is one that we don't have to worry about how is God going to receive it? Am I going to say it right? Is he going to understand? It is simply an act of obedience and faith that prayer makes a difference because he tells me it does. I have no clue how, but he tells me it does.
And somehow Revelation talks about that prayer being collected in heaven. What's that look like? Well, I get to see one day. He's promised that. That's a good thing. I look forward to that. Thank you very much. Okay.
So, Dan, a couple of things. One is that elsewhere in one of Paul's epistles, the mode of prayer to God, and this kind of piggybacks off what our brother just said back here, William Barclay, who was very well known in his era, a couple of generations ago, for knowing and understanding the New Testament language and its context, he developed a picture for what praying to God means. And the picture he paints is that of a king who is meeting with his counselors discussing heavy business of their kingdom. And his children come running into the castle, burst into the room where the counselors are conferring on international issues, and the king halts everything and takes his children into his arms, on his knees, and allows them time to speak to him about a childish issue. And he welcomes them in doing that. And he paints a picture that we are much like that. Yes, God does not need us to tell him what's going on, tell him what we would like, when often what we would like is the difference between a vanilla ice cream cone and a strawberry ice cream cone. In the big picture of international relations, it doesn't really mean anything. But in the relationship with him, it's very, very important. And he welcomes us. The second thing, in reading these last verses in Ephesians 6, verses 18 to 20, and go back then to your teaching on how to study the Bible and looking at the context of what is written. And to me, it's somewhat remarkable that having marched through these elements that we put on for our warfare, Paul, in making his transition then to verse 18 and then going on into 19, what's his request that the Ephesians to whom he is writing would pray for him? He has been given insight into the mystery or a mystery of God that has not been revealed until his era. Go back to chapter 3 on that, and he unfolds that pretty quickly. And what he is saying is, help me be aware of the responsibility I have to unfold this mystery to other people. Give me the wisdom to state it, that I don't shirk back from the opportunity. Give me the wisdom to state it in a way that it can be understood.
Now that's,
I am an ambassador for this.
That's something we'll cover in a couple of weeks.
In chains. I'm an ambassador. It's my responsibility to lay this out. Okay, so I should not go further on that. So, prayer and partition. One of the things I noted in praying at all times in the Spirit. We're not praying for the Spirit. We're not praying for the Spirit to work through us. He's taking it for granted. We're already God's children. And the preposition that is used both in the English and in the New Testament language, it's from a position of being inside the Spirit. We are inside Him. He's not inside us. He may be inside us. That's not what He's saying. We are praying from being in a position of inside the Spirit Himself. What we're talking about here is Spirit stuff, and that's proclaiming God's Word, unveiling this mystery that He has been unveiling then to,
okay,
to the Ephesians. Enough said right now.
Okay, I'd like to go into our communion time here. Okay, looks like two more hands. Laurel and then Ron.
Isaiah 65:24. It will also come to pass that before they speak, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear.
Nice. God is God.
You would think that prayer would be one of the pieces of armor. But prayer is used on all the pieces of armor. I just in my head.
So the communion itself, as we have done this every month for 3.5 decades that I've been here and 4 decades in total, it is, as the scripture says, remembering His death and proclaiming it until He comes. Part of the warning that's given 1 Corinthians 11 has to do with if you're a believer in Jesus and you've got a kind of sideways with somebody and you're not willing to deal with it, you might want to just pass this on by, because this communion involves the body. This communion involves even what we're talking about here in praying for one another. If we're not considering the body rightly, there may be some chastisement that comes as we take this. I don't know how that all works. He suggests, he tells a little bit about that in 1 Corinthians 11. But my point is, we are in this together. We're in the struggle together. We're imperfect together. One of the ways of loving one another is praying for one another and being there for one another. I can't fix it, but I have a great big Father that can address it. And so do you. Body life does mean confessing sin to one another. It does mean repenting. It does mean encouraging people as they walk a new walk, repenting from whatever it was. Walking alongside one another. We're doing this, we together, proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. There's the helmet of the hope of salvation. There is the helmet that says, clear thinking, He's coming back for me. Life is short here. We just sang about that. We are a moment. He is eternal. And I will be with Him eternally. Hallelujah for that. Keep my mind straight, Lord. Keep my mind straight. From every direction, there's stuff coming into my brain that wants my brain to short circuit. And at times it's successful. and I get angry or whatever. We are doing something basic and simple, but it represents a huge event as Jesus died and his body was broken so mine wouldn't have to be. It was in my place. He took my sin upon him. He shed his blood for me. And you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're welcome to join us this morning in this. If you're not, it's not going to do anything for you. It's just bread and grape juice. But if you know Jesus, wow, this is the reminder of him and what he did. So, Dave Blosser, Cliff, would you give us a hand? Brad, would you mind helping serve this morning?